That's right, people. It is time to recap Supercross with Kyle and Karen.
Woo, woo! Party in the house.
Karen's already laughing. She's usually laughing. What is going on, America and the world? If my voice sounds a little different here, I'll pull the music down just a little bit. If my voice sounds different, it's because I yelled it out.
Oh, man. Our neighbors could hear him yelling tonight.
I yelled it out. And you know what else? I clap. When I'm excited, I clap. Here, I'll sample it for you. I know that doesn't really come through, and those aren't my best claps.
He can get a couple of claps in that make one of my eyes close, if you know what I'm saying.
But seriously, I don't know what happens. I get so excited. We're just watching Supercross, and holy crap! Tomac is like beast mode.
Oh, man.
But Cooper Webb turned into the wall.
Yes.
He turned into the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
one
man.
One of the smartest riders out there, that Cooper Webb, according to Ricky Carmichael.
Well, according to Ricky Carmichael, everybody is doing the best thing ever, and everyone's in the perfect position. You know, like you're in second position, and you're like, oh, he's in the perfect position right now because he just gets to watch that guy. And I'm like, well, then there's the other side. Like, actually, maybe you're not in the perfect position because you can't pass that guy in front of you. So that's not the perfect. That's the suboptimal position. Ricky, you're the that guy's in second place. He isn't always in the perfect
you're
position.
You're the first loser.
He said that. He said that tonight when it was like you got Shane McElrath just gets passed by Chase Sexton. He's like, okay, Shane's in the perfect position right now because he can just watch Chase he can just watch Chase Sexton like pick up on his lines. I'm like, no, he would be in the perfect position if he was ahead of Shane McElrath. Ahead of Chase Sexton. Oh, but I digress. And guess what?
Seinfeld, though, with the first loser. That's what second place is.
Yeah, he's the first loser. I'm going to crack this baby up. Let's see if we can hear this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What was that? Open up whatever beverages you guys have. You know, if you're into whatever
you're
beverages.
You're going to be burping the next 20 minutes.
No, this is a Coca-Cola. It's a 7.5-ounce can. It's the small cans.
It's the minis.
And it's warm from the garage, so I put it in. I've got a...
Oh,
I'm
the garage
in.
Ones.
Yeah, that's all we have.
Garage ones are only good in the wintertime.
In the wintertime, they're dope. But
totally
now,
dope.
But now they're not. So I'm dumping it into a whole thing of ice here. I can only put half the can into my ice because there's so much. But... we're cracking it open because we're going to need some extra caffeine to
sing
this through.
Well, here's my water bottle. It sounds like a dolphin. Are you ready for this?
It didn't do it.
It didn't do it. Always does it.
Normally, just no pressure. No pressure. Just, oh my gosh, it's not doing it. Oh my goodness. That gives you a little bit of a taste of it.
I had to guzzle it.
Here we go. One more. Oh my gosh. So she's having to really suck on that one hard. But it does. Like, now you got no water left because you
know.
Just guzzled it all. But her water bottle does sound like a dolphin. I don't know what's going on.
Stupidest bottle. It's a cute purple bottle, but we're not here to talk about my water bottle. We're here to talk about Supercross.
Okay, so sorry that we missed the last couple of Supercrosses.
Kyle was lame. He didn't want to do it.
I had some other stuff going on. Holy crap, I've had some stuff going on. Anyway, it's been a while since we've done a podcast, and it's not because I forgot about it. It's just because we've been busy, right?
And because he didn't want to do it. Just kidding. No, really. He did want to do it. I'm just teasing him. We've been crazy busy. And, you know, with the whole Dirt Bike Channel giveaway, that's been super time sucking. Is that a sentence?
It has been a time suck.
Oh, yes. And I'm excited to soon get my husband back. Heaven help me. That will be nice. But yes. So we have been kind of slack dogging with our every Sunday and Monday or Sunday and Wednesday reports, but
it's because it's been so it's been 10 days since we did a podcast. Here's the thing. When we're having Supercross every 3 days or whatever, it's a lot. Like, it's so much. And it's been more than I thought it would be. And I actually prefer once a week thing. I mean, this has been cool to kind of jam them all into just a short time. And we've only got one more race. And that was really fun. It was really creative for them to be able to get this thing done. And yeah. Kudos to Eli Tomac. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. But it's been a lot. It's been more than I want. And this is one of the reasons why I don't like basketball, because there's too many games.
In basketball,
there's too many games. Baseball, there's too many games. It's better to have one a week. That's one of the reasons why college football and the NFL does so well, is because it's you got one a week and then you got a break for the, 7 days. And that's how the racing has been. And what I've noticed the last little bit as we've had all these races jammed together is I prefer it once a week. It's just too much. We've got too many things going on, and we can't do the podcast every 3 days and talk about it. Not with our family of however many kids we have. There's too much stuff going on.
He forgot how many kids we have.
I got to take another sip of this Coke then.
Oh, people are going to think you're boozing it or something out here.
It really Coca-Cola.
Is just a Coke. But yes, we have 4 children and they do take some of our time.
But anyway, so here's what happened. So tonight, let's just cut to the chase. Sexton, that is.
Chase. I see what you did there.
I don't know. It's probably...
Oh, man.
Probably,
start clicking them.
Hey! I got it. So Chase Sexton, here's how this rolls down. Chase Sexton had to... He wanted to put the hammer down. He wanted to put the hammer down on Shane McElrath. He comes in with a 3-point lead in his championship. In the 250 East Championship, and Shane McElrath goes out there, lays it down on his heat, and wins his heat.
Shane McElrath also wins his heat.
They both win their heat, but then they come out, Shane McElrath in the main event, boom, Shane McElrath gets, he's on that number 12, that Yamaha, and he gets the whole shot, I believe, and
did he get the whole shot?
I think he did.
Okay.
Pretty sure he did.
Yeah.
And he was out there leading, and then Chase Sexton, and then you hear Ricky Carmichael, Chase Sexton's in second place. Chase is in the perfect position, blah, blah, blah,
Because then he could see where...
But then what happens is Chase Sexton runs Shane McElrath in hard. And it was awesome. Yeah.
Right turns.
Yeah, Chase Sexton comes in there, boom, pounds into Shane McElrath. It was a great hard...
Did you just say McElrath?
Shane McElrath. Shane McElrath was taken hard into the corner. Anyway, Chase Sexton makes a good pass on him. I was like, that was sweet. And then right after that, that's when Ricky Carmichael's like, this is the perfect position for for Shane McElrath to be in. Now that he's in second place, he can just watch Chase Sexton. I'm like, yeah, he can watch Chase Sexton pull away from him and win the championship.
Yeah.
And obviously their championship wasn't wrapped up tonight, but it was a 6-point swing. If Shane McElrath had been able to stay even, stay ahead of Chase Sexton, they would have been tied in points and went into Sunday's race, which is an east-west showdown, which is going to be even harder because now you got all the best riders in one. That's one of the funny things about the 250 classes. And it's dumb. They need to change this. But in the 250 class, you have a west division and an east division, which really all that does is it just waters down the races because not as many of the best riders are there. And so what's going to happen next week is it will be an east-west showdown, which basically means all the best riders in the 250 class will all be racing together. And it'll be that much harder for Shane McElrath because guess what? Dylan Ferrandis is going to be there. Austin Fortner is going to be there. And Chase Sexton is going to be there. And so Shane McElrath needed all the points he could get, and he gave up those points. I mean, I know he did his best. I'm just saying, Shane needed to win this thing. Yeah. I mean, they both needed to win. But Chase Sexton now on that Geico Honda. And I was saying, that bike, those Hondas, with the red color and the red plate, they look so sharp. We've seen it with Ken Roczen's bike. When Ken Roczen has that red plate on that 94 this year, that has looked so sharp.
Yep, it really does. I like it. I'm not a huge fan of the green and red because it's like, that's Christmas and that's December time and we're in the summer right now.
I still think Eli Tomac's bike looks sharp though. The green bike with the red.
But the red is like, it does stand out. And I do really love the Yamaha tires. Not going to lie.
Yeah, that's the thing. We were talking about it. So Shane McElrath, he's riding a Yamaha and he's done really well. And they just don't look that good to me. They've got like black on their graphics kit. There's a little bit too much black. The bike doesn't stand out that well. I think the best looking part of those Yamahas, at least the one that he was racing tonight, was just the wheels. The wheels are like fluorescent blue almost,
Yeah, and it's awesome.
And same thing with I've got a YZ250 FX 2020 and its wheels are awesome. But I think actually my bike out sitting there, the YZ250 FX that's out in the shop, I think it looks better than the bikes that they're racing because they put too much black on these. You know, and black and blue to me, it just makes the bike kind of look, yeah. I feel the same way with Dylan Ferrandis's bike when he's there. Like, and Justin Cooper. Like, they just don't, the bikes, they make it blue, more blue. Don't put the black on the blue. It mutes the blue out. Am I wrong?
I guess not. I think if you have white, then there's more of a contrast, white with the blue, blue with the white.
But I'm not a fan of blue and white. And that's coming from a BYU fan. Should I say that out loud?
Gosh.
Like, I don't like mixing blue and white. I'm like, either go all blue or all white. I don't know. I'm hard to please. I'm hard to please on these things.
Hard to please.
But yeah, then Colt Nichols gets third. So that's what happened in your 250 race tonight, 250 East race. Chase Sexton then just runs it home. And he had a really good ride. The kid is really filling out his body quite a bit. And he's turning into a man. Mm-hmm. And he is a lot different rider. That's one thing where I will definitely, and I don't always disagree with Ricky Carmichael. I'm not saying that at all. Ricky Carmichael, 5-time champion. But what I will say is I don't agree with everything that comes out of Ricky Carmichael's mouth.
Well, I think the same could be said with anyone.
But I would just say that the guy who he took his place, I'm drawing a blank right now. Why can't I think of his name? Jeff Emig. I almost feel like Jeff Emig did a better job of announcing these races. Oh,
of who Ricky took his place.
Yeah, so okay. Ricky Carmichael took the place of Jeff Emig in the TV broadcasts.
Yes.
And if I'm dead honest, I like having the perspective of Ricky Carmichael, but sometimes I just feel like he's just sort of mailing it in almost. And I don't feel like he's trying that hard.
See, and I think he has really good insights here and there. You know, where at the beginning when he was talking about how Cooper Webb could kind of... I don't know. He has all of these insights that I would never know had I, you know, I don't ride. And so I don't know these things. And so I don't race. And I am super grateful for Ricky Carmichael's input.
I am too. I make it sound like he's doing a bad job. I'm just saying it, for some reason, it feels to me like Ricky Carmichael is just, he's not trying that hard to add like something super interesting. And yeah, he says a lot of interesting things and it's great commentary, but I don't know. I just feel like Jeff Emig was doing just as good, if not a better job. And Jeff Emig, I think, had to work harder at it. Jeff Emig had like a speech impediment and all this stuff. And Ricky Carmichael.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
It just feels like, and maybe I'm shortchanging it, but it just feels like Ricky Carmichael just like shows up and does it, you know? But anyway, let's talk about what happened well, in the...
When we were on the couch, Kyle asked, as we were watching the 250 race, and he asked me, you know, who do you want to win out of Shane McElrath and Chase Sexton? And I said McElrath without any hesitation, because this is his last season to actually get a championship in the 250s. And I think it's deserved because of how long he's been in the sport and how much he's raced and just the dedication level. And so I really hope he does well next week, but you know, anything could happen.
Yeah, he's ridden pretty well, but I think it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Because I think what's going to... Well, I mean, I don't know. I think it's going to be tough. I think that Chase is going to come out and have a good ride. And I could be fine with either one. Chase or Shane, they're both fine for me. So then, here's what happens in your 450s. You've got Eli Tomac, who is 24 points up when the race starts. What he has to do in order to clinch the championship, the first time he's ever done it, all he has to do is do two things. He has to beat Cooper Webb and Ken Roczen. Okay? So the table is set. Oh. He's most likely going to win this season. But if he wanted to wrap it up one race early, all he has to do is pass two people or beat two people, right? Well, they just happen to be the two other best guys in the sport, which
are on it tonight. That was so fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, because what didn't Ken win his heat race? No, it didn't. No, he didn't. Jason Anderson and Dean Wilson.
El Hombre came and took Ken Roczen out in the first turn. Ken Roczen was in the front.
Oh, in the heat race,
His front tire got stuck up in the bank of the turn and he couldn't go anymore, so he was like in 10th or something.
Yeah, because El Hombre, Jason Anderson, the 2018 champion, he rode really well in that heat race. And he also rode really well in the main. It's Jason Anderson's finally starting to get his group. But here's what happens in the main event.
The shirt tail flapping in the wind and all.
Here's what happens. Zach Osborne, boom, comes out, grabs the whole shot, and you've got Cooper Webb and
Ken Roczen.
Ken Roczen right there. And there it's like 1, 2, 3. And they go pulling off. Well, guess what? Cooper Webb, and he has been lights out this year. His worst finish was sixth. He is kind of like capitalized, or, you know, changed all those mistakes where he would kind of, you know, choke out, right, Karen?
Yes.
In previous years. And so here he is in the best shot ever to win a championship. And all he has to do is come out and get a good race, get a good start, and he can wrap it up tonight. What does he do, Karen? What does Eli Tomac do?
Well, you could say he got a bad start. He was the last guy around the first turn. Dead last. And so...
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. But... he puts on beast mode and starts picking people off one at a time and sometimes two at a time.
Or sometimes three at a time. Because I think in that... So what Karen says, he was last or maybe second to last right when he was making that rounded first turn.
Well, I remember... I thought he was second to last, but Ricky said that he was last.
I mean, I think Ricky was just saying that. But if you look at it, he was right there, maybe second to last. Either way, it doesn't matter. He was at the back of the pack mm-hmm. on that first turn. By the time he hits the next turn... he's already in like 10th or 11th. In fact, I think they said he finished the first lap in 12th.
That's crazy cool.
You know, and so at that point, we were all just kind of laughing like, oh my gosh, like when he needs a start, he just goes back to choke job and gets a horrible start. Horrible start. That's got to be his worst start of the season.
Yeah. There's the burp.
And then you didn't have to say it.
They were all thinking it.
Oh my gosh. And so then you see like Zach Osborne at the front, Cooper Webb at the front, Ken Roczen on the front. They're all pushing. And you're like, oh, Eli Tomac is 7 seconds back. He's about 7 seconds back. And then he just starts pushing through the pack and passing people. And by about 15 minutes to go. So the race has been going about for about 5 minutes. Then I started to prophesy. I got out my prophetic, you know, voice. And I'm like, Eli Tomac has turned beast mode on and he's going to win this bloody race and he's going to lock down the championship. Because look at that. He is just eating people up.
And around this time, no longer does this husband of mine sit on the couch like a normal human being.
I sat clear up until about 3 minutes.
Oh, he jumps up off the couch and starts doing like these weird dances and stuff and starts yelling. And then the other kids come running in. They're like, what's going on in here?
I waited for a long time. But I was sitting on the couch because you're just watching. And it was like exciting racing.
It was
not
cool
necessarily
race.
That there was a lot of like passes up in the front. But you had Zach Osborne, who we love. I'm just talking about for most of it. For like the first 15 minutes of it, it was just Cooper Webb following Zach Osborne in first. And then Ken Roczen following Cooper. And so it was just, but they were all tight. They were all within like 2 seconds of each other. You know, 1, 2, 3. And then you also had Jason Anderson up there. You know, you had Dean Wilson up there. I mean, it was awesome. You had like all the best guys right at the front.
Dino.
And all super, super close. And just slowly, Eli Tomac was just going beast mode and just passing people. It was so awesome. I will say this. There is no better person to watch come through the pack than Eli Tomac.
I think even his... what is it called? Like the position of your arms and your head and your like your body position? Is that what it is called in dirt biking? In dance, I could tell you all about it.
Race position, whatever.
Race position. But he's like, the way his race position is and his body, he looks like he's going to come kill somebody. Like
he's a Terminator.
Yes. He's a little terrifying, to be honest. And to look at, could you imagine having a rearview mirror on those bikes and seeing him in the rearview mirror? A few guys were like turning around.
It was Justin Brayton. Justin Brayton turned like
Turns around. He's like, oh boy, I better scoochies over.
Yeah, and he did a couple turns where he was racing hard, and then all of a sudden he realized, wait a second,
who's
that
back
was,
there?
That was a green bike, and he just kind of like checked up and like. Not everyone does that. The thing that I loved, one of the things I love the most is El Hombre, Jason Anderson. Jason didn't check up.
Oh, no.
Jason rode him hard, raced him hard, And I'm like, heck yes. I'm like doing el hombre. I'm breaking out my Spanish.
Everyone in the house starts clapping. Untucking their shirts and letting them fly in the fan.
Mostly I'm just clapping. I'm like, Jason, el hombre. My hands hurt. They're red.
They should hurt because of how hard you hit them together. You don't have to hit your hands that hard together.
You know what? The reason why it doesn't sound so much is because we got these headphones on. So I can get like a good snap. I know that was actually a pretty good clap, but you couldn't hear it because we got these headphones on. And the mic isn't picking up, but it's ducking it off.
Oh.
It's rolling it off on the crossover. So... But Jason Anderson.
Well, Jason Anderson in one of the interviews at the beginning made me laugh.
Bridesmaids.
So hard. I was laughing so hard.
Seven brides for seven brothers.
No. Somebody was saying like, well, what's turning the switch for you today or whatever? And he's like, well, I'm tired of being a bridesmaid with all these fools or something. And I was laughing so hard because I had to explain it to a few people in the house of what that actually meant, because that's like the way a girl would talk, you know, always a bridesmaid, never a bride. That's the whole saying behind what he was trying to say. And it's so funny. You'll have to go back and listen to it. He is a funny dude.
He must be hanging out with a bunch of babes or something. I don't know.
If he's right?
I'm tired of being a bridesmaid.
Yes.
But he doesn't sound
really
like that.
I really belly laughed when he said that.
He won the heat.
The heat.
And so they interviewed him for his heat race and he's like, tired of being the bridesmaid.
No, he didn't say it in a girl voice. He was so funny.
Like, yeah, for sure. I'm tired of being a bridesmaid, bro.
He did say for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Have you ever noticed? You guys need to start paying attention. The way that every one of these supercross racers answer a question is what, Karen?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. That's a pretty good ride. Did you love getting beat by Eli Tomac?
Yeah, for sure.
I just didn't feel that good on the bike today. I just didn't have it, you know?
And even if it doesn't make any bit of sense, you know, like what was really the thing that was holding you up tonight? Why were you not able to make as many passes? Yeah, for sure. And you know, I'm like, what? That doesn't make any sense.
And here's the thing. It's all group speak and they all just start saying the same things.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, even like the French guys would, like Marvin back in the day would say, yeah, for sure. And
so does Dylan Ferrandis.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
I think that's what they think that we say here in America.
Because they're like watching everyone's freaking interviews or press
for sure.
Whatever. And they're like, oh, that's what I'm supposed to say. People are doing the same thing though worldwide with right.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's you and I are doing it. Everyone does it, you know, right? So, and you're just going along.
That's kind of like a like, slang one.
And what I think we should, and so sometimes you just start to feel really bad about it, right? And then you keep going. And yeah, so people need to stop, me and you and everyone else needs to stop saying right. And the racers need to stop saying yeah, for sure.
Anyways, sure. Back to the race.
But anyway, so Jason Anderson holds off Eli Tomac for a couple of laps, and he was riding him hard. He rode him hard, and he put him away wet. It's a horse term. Come on now. Get your mind out of the gutter. And then he comes up, Eli Tomac is going to pass Ken Roczen, and I fully believed with about 5 minutes to go, I was like 100% Eli Tomac. He's got beast mode on. And he's going to pass all these guys. And he goes up there. It was actually harder to pass Jason Anderson than it was Ken Roczen. Ken Roczen kind of gave something to him. And then he got passed. And then Ken Roczen made one, you know, kind of pushback. Mm-hmm. And he didn't quite get it back. But he didn't fully roll over. And then at that point, you still have Zach Osborne in the lead. And then you've got Cooper Webb in second. And then Eli Tomac in third. And at this point, Cooper Webb has followed Zach Osborne the entire race. And finally, Cooper realizes he's got the green bloody machine with the red plate right on his fender. And he's like, I've got to make a move on number 16 right now. Comes into that 180. It's a left-hander. He just cuts it hard and comes right under Zach Osborne. Zach Osborne cuts below him and loses kind of the front wheel and loses some position. And right there, Zach Osborne in that one single turn, he got passed by the two best riders in the sport, which is Cooper Webb and, you know, Eli Tomac.
Eli Tomac.
Eli Tomac obviously being the best one in the sport right now. But it was really cool because remember that time where Zach Osborne looks back and he's been leading the entire race and he looks back off like the finish line jump and he looks back and who does he see? He sees Cooper Webb and Eli Tomac in the air. You know, they're coming.
I thought you were talking about a race before.
No. It was in this one. And we're just like, Zach Osborne has got to be loving this because he's never led this many laps in a 450 main before. He's been doing awesome. And who's he holding off?
Oh, I love
it. Just the champ from 2019 and the guy who's going to be the champ in 2020. And he's been holding them off the entire race. I was like, way to go, Zach.
I loved it. We're big Zach fans, though. He's a nice guy.
Way to go, Zach.
We've met him a few times.
There's actually a number of like pretty awesome dudes in racing. It's one of the best things about this sport. Not everyone. Some of these people are jackwads. and we don't know them all like super personally, but you kind of get to know them a little bit. There's some really good role models. Zach Osborne being one of them. Cooper Webb being one of them. No, you know, and sometimes they're, you know, very direct and a little rude or whatever, but they're not out there like, you know, doing bad things. I think that for the most part, to have your kid looking up to these guys, they're pretty decent role models if you stand them up against the rest of the world.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
Zach. So Zach Osborne is like family man, got kids, you know, trying to like, you know, support his wife. And these all, it's just fun. And then now you have Cooper Webb leading the race and he's got Eli Tomac behind him and there's about 3-4 minutes to go. And I'm like, no way Cooper Webb holds Eli Tomac off. Tomac has passed 19 people to get to this point. In fact, I think he passed us on the freeway. I mean, he passed everyone.
Oh my gosh.
He passed everyone in Utah. Everyone who has ever had a bike in, I saw him pass me. I rode like a, he passed me last week. He was passing so many people.
He passed me going backwards.
He was passing so many people and I figure, okay, Cooper Webb is awesome. He's got that good intuition that Ricky Carmichael talks about where he's hard to pass. And I do agree. Like when Cooper Webb is...
He really does.
When
you
Cooper,
can see it.
When Cooper Webb is on, he is hard to pass. He's possibly one of the hardest people to pass because he's just so good in the corners and he just takes the line away.
And ladies and gentlemen, Cooper Webb did not let him pass.
Cooper Webb turned into the freaking wall that he is sometimes. Oh, but guess what though? He didn't even, because he just turned it up. As soon as he got around Zach Osborne, Cooper Webb found one more gear.
Yes, he did.
He shifted into seventh gear on his KTM 450 SXF factory edition. He shifted into seventh gear. We never even knew they had it.
And Eli Tomac even mentioned that in his post-race interview. I thought that was interesting that Cooper Webb turned it up after he got around Zachy.
And Cooper Webb brings it home, pulled away a little bit from
Eli.
And this is the thing, and we've said this so many times, what a different season this would have been if Cooper Webb would have come into this thing healthy.
Oh.
Because he came into this thing with like virus and sick and puking and everything. The first three rounds, he couldn't even do anything.
And then the crash that we've seen a billion
but
times.
But even with the crash, it that wasn't as big of a factor as the first three rounds because he just couldn't. He had no energy, nothing. So Ken Roczen has been having his health struggles late. Cooper Webb had him in the first three rounds. If that hadn't happened, Cooper Webb would be your points leader. I can guarantee you that right now. And it would be the same script over of like Eli Tomac coming on and making this thing tight at the end. Mm-hmm. And it would have been awesome. It's just barely below awesome as far as the points because Cooper Webb is now back so many. He's back, I don't even know. It's somewhere like right around 20-ish. That we don't have the official results right now in front of us. But
or was it 18?
It's somewhere between 18 and 22. That he's back. And so, you know, back in points off of the lead. Eli Tomac is going to wrap this up next week. Not next week, in 3 days on Sunday. And Eli Tomac, I said, Karen, didn't we say we were going to give a standing O?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
So let's move the mics up.
Oh, got to get up.
Let's move the mics up, and we're going to do the standing O here. That is our standing ovation.
We really did stand for you, Eli.
That is our standing ovation because Eli is, barring him getting hit by a bus or something, he's going to win the Supercross Championship. He deserves it. He's got more wins than anyone ever who's never won it. You just sit back and you think about all the races that he has won and the things he's done in the last like 5 years.
He deserves a win.
He could have won this thing. Like, he is just a hair. He's a wardrobe malfunction away from winning it 1 year.
Oh,
he's a mechanical, you know, a mechanical issue away from winning it like 2 other years. And then he's like just the slowest guy to get back up after he drops the front wheel down.
Like, I can't believe I just tipped it over.
And just like, oh, and you know, just don't pick it up that fast. Yeah. The point is we always hammer. We hammer on Eli like, oh, he's not mentally tough. He's this, he's a head case. He gave up the win. He can't, but at the end of the
day, he really is tough.
But at the end of the day, he's tough as bloody nails. And he's turned on the mental toughness now. He's figured it out. He's only 28, so he's kind of doing it a little bit late in the 450 career to get this. But this is a guy who could have 3 or 4 championships. 3 easily. Like, yeah. He's going to have this one, and he should have had 2 others. The last couple of years, he should have done it.
Yeah.
You know? Was beat out a couple times before. And Eli Tomac, you are going to be the champion. And we'll do another podcast about this once it's all over. But I think it's just people need to stand up and give him a standing ovation. He has done awesome. You never want to see that bike behind you. And that's the other thing, is he's not dirty. Yes, there was the time that he kind of pushed Ryan Dungey off the track 2 or 3 times a couple of years ago because he was trying to win that championship. And he wasn't dirty. He wasn't trying to kill anybody. He was just trying to push him off and win that thing. And he has just continued to grind and grind and grind. And this is not fun. Like, what they're doing is not fun. You know, obviously, this is what he's put his whole life into. But how hard they have to work and everything.
Yeah.
Hats off. Good job, Tomac. And but thank you, Cooper Webb, for not rolling over. Because
yeah.
They're in that last little bit. All Eli Tomac had to do to wrap up the championship is pass
one guy.
And I loved it. Thank you so much, Cooper Webb, for doing that.
Our 3-year-old calls him Tooper with a T.
That was awesome. He wouldn't let him pass. You know, he's like, I'm gonna go down to the wire. And Cooper knows he's not going to win this thing. The only way he wins this thing is if something, you know, heaven forbid, happens to Tomac next week and he can't get any points. Or, I mean, on Sunday and he can't get any. And nobody wants to see that. But like, Cooper's like, hey, anything could happen. You know, and so... You know, if all of a sudden Eli Tomac has just a mechanical and the engine blows up on the start, then Cooper Webb could and will probably win this thing. But that's not going to happen. And it's just too bad that he didn't have his help. That's the thing. So many things have to fall for you. So many things have to go your way in order to win these things.
Well, and Ken Roczen, he could have had it too. Yeah. But he's had so many struggles, like one right after the other. And, oh, man, he's tough as nails as well. We're Ken Roczen fans over here, and our little Kenzie tonight, the 250s were going. She starts yelling before anyone started yelling, and she goes, "Go Roczen!" or something like that.
But it wasn't quite that. I couldn't tell what she was saying.
It was Roczen.
Like, Wacken. No, Wacken or something.
Roczen.
Wackens.
There was no Wackens. It was Roczen.
All I know is we...
And I was like, what did you say? And then she said it again. And I'm like, did you say go Roczen? And she's like, yeah.
And it was Chase Sexton out there. But she just saw the red bike.
Yeah. She doesn't know her numbers yet. She's 3, barely.
And she can see the colors.
She can see the colors. And she was so excited to see Ken Roczen.
Anyway, that's what we got for you tonight. It was a super fun race. It was great. I mean, it was one of those ones. And I'm ready for it to be over next week just because we've had a lot of it. I'm so glad that they got to finish this thing out. And yes, Ken Roczen is more than likely going to win this thing. And I'll probably say it again next week, but there is no asterisk on this thing. This has been hard fought to do what they've done and to come, you know, and just battle this thing out in 3 weeks, do 7 rounds in 3 weeks. It's awesome.
Oh, we've got a cliffhanger. I forgot to tell you. We've got a cliffhanger, and it is, we know a guy who's a closet Dylan Ferrandis fan.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Next week you're going to find out who it is. Maybe.
Oh, yes.
So, anyways, yeah. Have a good week, everyone.
Is that how we're going to end it?
Yes.
On the closet Ferrandis thing?
Yeah, we are. I'm not saying it right now. Neither are you.
But we are going to say one thing, right?
You are.
Why don't you say it?
I did last time. It's your turn.
You did? Okay. Thanks for actually, I need to talk about our sponsor, which is us. Dirt Bike Channel sponsors this thing, but if you want to support us, because we don't have any sponsors on this, I haven't asked for any. And it's kind of nice, actually, not have any sponsors, because that way I didn't feel bad that we didn't do a podcast for 10 days. But if you want to support Dirt Bike Channel, here's what you can do. You can go over to dirtbikechannel.com right now, and up in the upper right-hand corner, there's a button that says links. If you click on that button, it will take you to a page that has many different links that you can click on. If you click on any one of those links and then you shop, say Rocky Mountain ATV, Motorsport, Amazon.
Everyone shops on Amazon.
You'll get stuff. And Karen and I will get a small referral commission for sending you to that company. And that means, you know, we don't have to pay any difference. We can keep the lights on.
Yes, you like lights.
This recording equipment that we're using right now has many lights on it. And they take electricity. And electricity costs money. And if you want to support us, you can go over there. It's dirtbikechannel.com. Links up in the upper right-hand corner. That's it. And with that, I think you guys should leave a single track.
See you later.